My thought tonight is having a heart for God. You know, in this religious adventure that I'm in, nothing makes any sense to me at all if I do it and don't want to. The only way any of it makes any sense to me at all is when I do it because I want to do it. I do it because I choose it with my heart. And because it means something to me. I can make my children come to service, but I've not been able to make them like it. I can require out of their lives a lot of things, but I've never had the ability to make them like it. That's something they've got to choose ultimately. You know, the preacher sometimes will preach and say things like, you ought to go to service on Sundays. And you should. But when the preacher says that, what he's really saying is that you should love to. That's really what he's saying. You ought to love to do it. It's a privilege that not all people have had. It's a privilege that we have in this country to do it. But just to do it because there's a pressure to do it really doesn't make much sense to me. And to be honest with you, it's never fulfilled me much. I like to deal honestly with myself as best I can. And recently, well, not real recent, but in the recent years, I had a time that it was time for service. I got myself involved into something else, and I wanted to do it. But it was service time. But you know, I was being just as honest as I could with myself, and I didn't want to go to service. I wanted to do this other thing. And I was in a dilemma because I knew I was going to service. But I didn't want to. And that don't make any sense to me. And so I struggled with that. You know what my prayer was? Lord, help me to want to more than this other thing that I'm wanting to do. The other thing wasn't wrong to do. It just was wrong to have it ahead of what the Lord wanted me to do. And I was struggling with that because it didn't make sense to me to do that. Now, you know, we'll be honest with ourselves tonight and say this, that we all know that we don't have a list of rules up here, you know, big list of rules of the do's and don'ts written down. We don't have it. But we all know that there is a list of expectations. We all know that. We'll be honest about it and we'll know that. We know that's true. And do you know it doesn't make any sense to me when I do any of these things, but I don't want to. It doesn't make any sense to me. What makes sense to me is that I love the Lord with all my heart. And I want to please Him, and this is really what we're saying with this is, and it's a collective thing that we're all saying, that the Lord has an expectation for us. There's a way that pleases God. There's a mannerism of life. There's a way of life. There's the way we speak, the way we walk. There's where we go and where we don't go. There's a way of doing things that is pleasing to the Lord. And that's what I want to do. That's what my heart is to do. I read a thing in the paper recently at home, back before the last election. There was a lot of things like this in the paper, but it was talking about, there was an article about, I think, what they called social justice today. And without a lot of explanation, it has to do with basically with the evening out of the economics, the money, even it out till, oh, there's an idea that some people took advantage and got more money than they need, and they, anyway, it's just spread it around, that kind of thing. So someone was writing, this article said, made this comment that, I don't understand why all these so-called Christian people aren't for this. Because this is a biblical concept, that you take care of the poor. And that startled me for a little bit, because I've been someone that's cared a lot about biblical concepts. And I never run into that one in my mind before, that this is something that someone would think was a biblical concept. And I concluded that it's not a biblical concept. God does not want to take from somebody that don't want to give it. Bottom line, God isn't pleased with just taking. You know, God will let you keep your stuff if you want to keep it. He even said to Ananias and Sapphira, well, it was yours, was it not thine? Couldn't you have done whatever you wanted it to? We ain't making you. God won't make you. It isn't a concept that God is relishing in taking anything from you that you don't want to give. God wants us to have a heart for God, freely giving to God, giving the things that we have to God, to have a real heart for God, to live for God, not because we're under the strains and stresses or because we're pressured, but because I look at it and say, Lord, I want to please You. I want it in my life because I choose it in my life. When I understand it, it's a godly thing. Lord, that's what I want in my life. I'll be honest with you. It isn't the only time I've dealt with it. I've dealt with it in my life and other times. I don't want the worship services. I don't want the service of God in my life to become something that is just, I'm just getting through it. I pray that the Lord would help me to desire that in my life. Lord, help me to be passionate about Your service, to want to do it, because there is a fine line between having joy in my heart and being so miserable I can't stand it. Walking between the two lines, because to be honest with you, when I don't want to do it, I get miserable. I don't want to hear it. Some people are too long-winded for my natural patience. There's things that goes on. Things ain't said right. All these things. And if I'm like that, it's miserable to me. But you know, when I love to do something, it's altogether different. I'm right there in it and enjoying every minute. And you know what? It changes. You be in the service sometimes and you're thinking, is he ever going to be quiet? I want to get out of here. And even while the service is going on, thinking of all the things that I could be doing, I can be doing, this don't make no sense to me. I don't think it does to God either. I don't think God likes it either. For us to be there just because it's the thing to do. Well, I was supposed to be there, so I'm there. And I'm spending my time there, that I'm supposed to, and mainly because if I didn't, everybody would know Brother Marty ain't there. So he's going to have to be there somewhere. And you all know it as well as I do. I've seen it for years. And don't want to sound critical, but it's just the truth. Instead of, well, I'll say it this way. It don't take much of an excuse. It's almost like it's looked for, well, I can't make it to service today. And I haven't had any excuse, but now I've got one. You know what the truth of God is? You don't have to go to every service and be right in God's eye. You don't. That's the truth. But you know what a heart that's after God wants? To be in service. But you can't always go, but when you can't go, you wish you did. You was wanting to be there. It's like that with everything in God. He ain't counting it against us because we don't make it there. He's counting us against us because we don't want to be there. The idea is having a heart. Having a heart for God. Let's look at a scripture over in Acts, 20th chapter of Acts. Ask this question. Is there anything in life more important to you than you? Well, now I think that's an honest question, because you know what? I mean, I'm here with you folks and we're all here together. And when I leave here, you'll go your way and my little world's going to be right with me. And as hard as I can try, I can't get out of it. Sometimes I'd love to get out away from me, but can't do it. Every place I go, I take me with me. Got to deal with me all the time. It's a pretty important factor in my life, I am. Because I'm always having to deal with me. But is there anything in our lives more important than we are to our own lives? I think there is, and I think there should be, a cause more important to me than me. I think there is something that is so far more profound than I am. I think there's something that's bigger that I'm just a very small part of. And there is something that is so much bigger and more important than me in life. Over in the 20th chapter of Acts, in the 20th verse, this was Paul speaking. He says, "And now I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I have showed you and have taught you publicly that, and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith to our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. And now, he says, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem." It's a small ask there on Spirit. It makes me wonder. I go bound in the Spirit. I'm determined to do it. I don't think at that particular point that he was talking about the Holy Ghost, but I was thinking he's talking about the filling of his own heart. I go bound with such determination and such desire to do it. I don't do it out of any exterior force. I do it from a motivated heart. I'm going to Jerusalem because there's a cause bigger than I am. I'm going for a purpose that goes far beyond me in this whole thing. I see a picture bigger, a cause bigger, something that's more important than I am in this thing. So I go bound in it. I'm determined to see it through. You see, there's something more important to me than just me. There's something valuable in life than just me. I can look at me and say, I want this, I want that. I want to be presented a certain way. I want to look at a certain way. I want respected a certain way. But there's things bigger than I am. The gospel's bigger than I am. The cause of God's bigger than I am. I'm not looking to just myself. I'm looking to the cause of all people around about me. And it comes down into such small ways. I appreciate so much. Do you know that we live in this world we live in, that we can be recognized by people? They can't see our hearts, of course not. But you know they can recognize a certain part of us that we believe in God? It's amazing to me how often people come up to us and say things like, "Where do you go to church?" I never said I went to church. But they say it. We had somebody recently say, "It's obvious that you're religious people." Well, I didn't say I was religious. How obvious? Why are we making it obvious? And I say this, why do I want to do it? Because I want to be known that way. I want the ice to be broken that way. It isn't about me. I want that to be in my life as representing something in this world. I'm glad the world can see it, and I always imagine in my mind for everyone that said it, there's hundreds not bold enough to come up and say it. They see it. They see our lives. Linda and I was going through the Walmart one day, and she clipped me. I was ahead of her, and she clipped me with the buggy. You ever been clipped with the buggy? Back of your heels? Well, Lord help us. I turned around and went to Linda, and I kind of look around, and there's people. It's amazing, in Walmart, there's a lot of traffic in there, and there was people there. And you know what come to my mind? You better watch it. You look holy. People were watching, and you know what I found? A cause bigger than me. Lord, help me. I don't want to represent this thing wrong. It isn't about me. Justice to me. Those kind of things. It's about showing people something that works in our lives. It's supposed to work in our life. It does work in our lives. But you know it doesn't work in your life if you're indifferent about it. If you're haphazard about it. The gospel was never set up to be that way. We're to love the Lord thy God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It isn't to be taken lightly or trivially, or not to be said, "Oh, there's any point or place that I won't give to God." Nothing. I give it all to you, Lord. Take it all, sanctify it, use it, make it what you want it to be. Because if I keep it for myself, I'm going to be myself. But Lord, you take it and use it. A man said one time to me, was talking about rock and roll music, and I was saying, I just can't see that the Lord would ever be pleased with such a thing like that. He makes the comment, he said, he was a religious person, claimed to be saved, but he said, I'd go to hell before I'd give up music. Rock and roll music. I'm telling you, that stirred my heart. And I said in myself, is there anything, Lord, is there anything that I wouldn't give up? Is there any place that I would say, I'd rather go to hell? This is so valuable, so important, so much of my life that I'd rather have it. I'd rather go to hell. He made that comment in the face of people. And the Lord, I would never, ever imagine saying such a thing as that. Because in my mind, maybe that would be the reality. Maybe that would be the reality of it. But Paul said, I go bound in the Spirit. A determination of my own soul. I'm going. I'm going because I want to. You ever have a job that you didn't want to do? That's all right. I've had jobs that I didn't want to do and went ahead and done them. Didn't feel like I had to want to do them. I felt like I had to do them. I just didn't feel like I had to. I mean, I had want to. I didn't feel like I had to love the job in order to do it. I felt like I ought to do it. It was duty, so I did it. But I didn't have to love it. But it don't work that way with the Lord. It don't work that way with the Lord. If you don't love it, you won't do it. If you don't love it, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't have the fruit to it. It doesn't have the blessing to it. If you don't love to do it. I think Paul was a very devout man. He says, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit into Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Not knowing the specifics of the things that shall befall me there, save except that the Holy Ghost witnessed in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me, but I'm going anyway. I'm going anyway. Why would someone do something like that? He knew what lay ahead of him. He knew he wouldn't be accepted everywhere. He knew he was going to be whipped. He's going to be stoned. He's going to be ridiculed. He was going to be wrote out. He knew all that was going to happen to him. And he said, I am bound in the Spirit to go. I'm going. I got a choice to go. I'm loving it. It's my desire life. I ain't being sidetracked here. I really want to do it. What a passion. What a desire. Folks, the Lord needs that today. He needs it out of us today. The desire to it. The honesty. You know, real servants of God are honest. You must be honest about yourself. If you don't really want to serve the Lord in areas, I don't think the Lord's casting us away. He wants us to be honest about it. Deal with it and get there. There's places, Lord, that I'm holding back at you. Lord ain't going to cast you off. He's just saying, come and bring them to me. And I'll tell you what the truth is. There's nothing compares with what the Lord has. We're fearful. We don't understand it all. We draw back sometimes. But it's everything you give the Lord will be more than repaid. Paul knew that. Paul was going up there. You know why? Because the richness of God in his soul was greater than the persecution he was going to get. And he couldn't long to get up there and feel God working in his life. To feel the power of the Spirit on him again. To feel the anointing of the Word as it come out from him. It was joy and glory to his heart. The joy that he felt when a soul came to Christ was greater than the persecution. And he loved it and he wanted it and he desired it. And he said, I'm bound to do it. I'm bound in my spirit to do it. I love it above all treasures. It's my passion, my desire, and I'm going to go because I have an opportunity to go. I don't want to do it. I know this is 2012. And this is some of our greatest challenges. But it's still there. Amen. And then he says this, but none of these things move me. Oh, St. Paul, you can't go up there. They're going to do this. You can't divert me. You needn't try. You can't divert me. It doesn't move me out of my course. Out of the way I'm going. Understand this. The Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the Christian age, and of all Christians that's followed, has been the sacrifice of their life. It was the very Spirit of Christ from the beginning. It's what He came to do, was give His life. It's what His followers did after Him. It's what the whole age of Christianity has been in spirit, that a person would so love God that they would be willing to give their very life for a cause that's so much bigger than they are. I am here for just a little while, and it amounts to little, but Lord, take my life and add it to the collective effort of the great cause of God. You know, back in American history, there was a president, Abraham Lincoln, came to Gettysburg after a tremendous battle was fought there. 22,500 died on both sides. About 45,000 people died in a three-day battle at Gettysburg. Best my memory is, a horrific battle. One of the most famous speeches in history was his Gettysburg address. He wasn't even the main speaker, I understand. He was just there, coming there, and I think he wrote this speech down on an envelope before he got there. And it wasn't very long, but it was so remembered what he said. And one of the things that stuck out to me was that he made the statement that these men have given their last full measure of devotion. In other words, what can a man more give to his country and the cause that he felt was bigger than he was than to lay his life down for it? He can't devote anything bigger or more important. It's not possible. In all the money that you can donate to the causes, you'll never give more than to give your own life for the cause. This is what the Apostle Paul was dedicated to do when he says this, that none of these things move me because I ain't that important in the whole thing. He is. God's cause is, if I could buy a little bit of laboring laced with persecutions and suffering, gain some souls to the kingdom, then Lord, let me have the great privilege of doing it. He understood the triviality of the worldly things around him. He understood that there was a call so much bigger than he was, that there was eternal things. The things that we see are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And he recognized the eternal things, and he recognized the fight of the enemy and what the devil was going to try to do, but he understood also the power of God. And the ability God had through those things to make His life count for something. You want your life to count for anything? There's only one way to make your life count for anything. And it's have a heart for God. And allow God to have all of your life. Don't hold back anything of it. God wants all of it, and He'll do you right too. He won't let you down with the thing you give Him. He'll make it what it ought to be, and you'll be better off for it. Your witness will be, you'll be joyful and happy. It'll be what God wants you to be. But we get so twisted up sometimes and so debating in our own minds some of these things that don't make much difference to anything. Trivial. I never hardly ever seen any conflict among people that wasn't trivial in the sight of eternal things. None. I look at all of them and say, it's so trivial, Lord help us. It's so trivial. So somebody said something. So what? I'm bound in the Spirit. So somebody said an offensive word, or they didn't, or somebody parked in my parking spot, or somebody, whatever it is, so trivial to somebody that's bound in the Spirit and determined to love God. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. It's not dear unto me. So that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God, my life is not counted dear unto myself. This life's not dear unto me. The gospel's dear to me. The cause of God's dear to me. The fact that God, He's bigger than I am. Oh, I want to see His name lifted up and glorified. I want to see God's cause, God's things lifted up. And I'm going to be just honest with you. I've had failures in my life. And many times in my failures, you know what my prayer was? Lord, let the harm come to me, but not to your cause. So I may have failed your grace, but Lord, I know your grace is real, and don't allow it to come harm to your cause. Because it's bigger than I am. And I want to see it promoted, and I want people to know that you can be saved with grace and glory. And you can be delivered from your problems and your habits, and I want it to be known. I want to be Jesus to be lifted up, that He is real in this day in 2012. He's still real. He still lives in the hearts of men. He still wants to lead and guide. He still wants to do it. He still wants to put in us the passion of the gospel that saves men's souls. He needs an army. Army starts with one soldier at a time, folks. God needs an army in 2012 that has a passion for God, because I'll tell you what I'm finding. There's people out there that need help. And this is the amazing part. They want us to help them. Amen. They want us to help them. We had a real privilege to go into three different nursing homes. One at back home in Marlington. Then we was with the folks in Alabama and went to one. And then we went to one in Joplin. Christmas caroling and going in with the folks. We went into room after room. My wife would go in and we'd go in to talk with them. And she'd say, would you like for us to have prayer? And they'd say, oh, please. Please have prayer with us. We was able to go in there and have... The Lord came down and witnessed to us there. Over three different places in three different states. People are people everywhere you go. They're lonely, they're hungry, they're needing something. And you can be there to do it. Folks, there's plenty to do for somebody that loves the Lord. Plenty. Plenty to do, I think. There's people needing help. And if everyone in here was absolutely, totally devoted to do it, we would not fulfill the need. We could do it, continue it, and still not fill it. There is so much to do, so many people. And Paul said, he saw his opportunity and said, I am bound to do it. It's what I do. It's what I've given my life to. Does it sound like there was any other thing there? It said, I guess, that he was a tent maker, wasn't he? He done it. Sure he did. He done it working with his hands, that he could live honestly with them without, to give and those kind of things and those kind of times. I believe he did. But there was no conflict here. And I'd go to Jerusalem if I didn't have these two tents to make four go. If I got that. Bringing it down to that kind of an area. No. I only make tents to further the cause of God. That's right. I only use this as a utility. I use it as something that will bring me into these kind of places. That's all that it is for. But my heart and desire is to go to Jerusalem and do whatever. And none of these things, afflictions, bonds, persecutions, they don't move me. What a statement. What a statement, Paul. You're going to run right into the face, right into the teeth of the lion. I'm going to Jerusalem, bound to, got a heart to, because I want to see my course finished. I want to see joy in my life. I want to see the power of God. I want to see Jesus fulfilled in my life, and this is where I'm going to go. And I'm going to tell you, he wasn't let down. God went with him the whole way. Another scripture is very familiar to us. I'll rehearse a little bit of this scripture. It's found in 1 Samuel 17. David was a man after God's own heart. Oh, it wasn't that he was perfect and he wasn't going to make some mistakes in his life. And that wasn't why he was a man after God's own heart. He was a man after God's own heart because he sought God in his life and desired to have the Lord as a very present help. And he come to the time as a young lad that is, you all know the story, but Jesse sends him up, that's his father, he sends him up to the battle. There was a battle. The Philistines was there and the armies of Israel had come together and David's brothers was in the army. And so Jesse sent David up to see what was going on at the, with his brothers and greet the captain and take him some food and those kind of things. So David went up there and he saw a situation. And he said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" When Goliath came out there and saying things to defile God and the armies of the living God and God's stings and casting it down. And David looked at that, and don't you know that he didn't count his life dear unto him? There was a passion burned in him more for God than for himself. He wasn't out to make he made fame, but he wasn't out to. He was made a legend, so to speak. He was made something that was talked about, but he didn't go for that. That was only the fringes of it. He went because he was bad-mouthing God, and that wasn't the thing to be doing. He went because he loved God and he wanted somebody to stand up for it. Who is there not somebody to stand up here? Here comes this, and he must have looked around and said, "He's just flesh. Have you all heard the same stories I have?" Lord help us, folks. We know the stories David knew. Because David had a heritage of God being faithful. I think David went up there, if you'll give me the liberty, but I really think David went up there and had an expectation that all of the old stories that he had heard of God and the faithful men was about to take place, and he would be able to be a great witness of what God was going to do. Because God didn't let down Gideon, and he didn't let down Joshua, and he didn't let down Caleb, and he didn't let down Moses, and he didn't let down Noah, and he hadn't let down Abraham, and he hadn't let down Jacob, and he hadn't let down none of them before, and he ain't going to let us down now. God is our God, and he fights our battles, and boy, we're going to see something now, except for he didn't see something now. But he was a man with a heart. And he got criticized by the ones that should have been encouraging him. Because he did have some courage. And he stood there and he said these things. And they said to him, "We know the naughtiness of your heart. We know you come up here for an evil purpose and all that." But David said, "Is there not a cause?" It isn't a cause of David. It's a cause that God be elevated in the land. God promised us as a people that he would be with us. God has promised us that he would be with us. God has promised that he'd be a strong God to a strong city, a bulwark, a fortress. He's promised it to you and I, that he'd go with us to the end, even to the end of the world. We got the same promises today. We can face the onslaught. Yes, we can. We can face it, what's coming on, the filthiness, the undefilement, the immorality of our time. We can face that. We can face it. It's just a giant like Goliath. It's flesh. We can face it. Because we got God's promises behind us. We can stand up and be a just faith. We can, with the same kind of security, we can devote ourselves to. Just like David did. David didn't even take up the armors and things. He didn't even take that. He trusted in the Lord. Took his little sling and got him some rocks. Amen. Down where he went with faith in God. There was a cause that was bigger than he was. And he wanted the cause, which the cause was God. He wanted God to be glorified. Wanted his name to resonate throughout the peoples, the heathens and everywhere, that there is a mighty God in Israel. That's his cause. Don't we have the same cause today? Lord, help us to stay in a place and have a place that those that are hurting, those that want delivered, those that need to come out, we'll have a place to come. There is a fortress. There is a place. There is a people that have a cause. And it's bigger than they are, and you can see it in their lives. It isn't about pulling for what they want and what they have and the struggles and striving of positions and who can get to the top and all that. It's cause bigger than all that. The cause is that we have a clear sound. That we have something to be able to say. Something that we live and care about. I sure appreciate what the Lord's done for me. I told folks up home recently, I'll say it again. If the Lord takes me, I want you all to know. I mean, if I die tonight, I want you all to know. My testimony is that the Lord's been good to me. And I have lived a wonderful life. And I appreciate what the Lord's done. Because I can hardly even imagine what my life would have been without God. And I appreciate him very much. And my desire for my life is that I'd have a clearer vision and that the cause would become brighter to me, and I would be more and more willing. As the Lord's working in my life, and I believe that it's further than just me. If it's just me, I'll take it. But I think it's more than just me. I think the Lord's wanting to talk to all of us, because it seems like as we've been praying, Lord, open up something for us. Open up the way that we'd be able to fulfill your calls. Open up the path and do that. The Lord's doing it, and I'm finding that there's many more people out there than I ever dreamed of that want us to help them, that have needs out there. This is a message tonight from my heart of consecration, of sanctification. You know, we put a lot of big terms on it and all what it means, but in the simplicity of it, that I resign myself to God and to His cause, and that my life becomes God-focused. That what I do, we do all these things anyway, we just don't God focus them. That we work on a job, you'll go ahead working on a job if you consecrate yourself. It's just that it becomes God's. To change your occupation, to take you somewhere else, or to take what you get from it and do it, it becomes God's all the way. God's wanting that of our life. To consecrate it as Paul did and said, none of these things move me. Well, look at the world, Brother Marty. It's moving. It's challenging us. I see it too, but it don't move me. I don't look at it as the end. I look at it as a potential. I look at it as a place where God might be able to snatch some souls out. I see the potential of what's happening. The people's going to say, what's happening to our world? Lord, help me. And there'll be some place that I can say, God will help you. Salvation is still here in 2012. As the world gets darker, the light shines brighter. What an opportunity in 2012 to those that are willing to live for God and willing to reach out and willing to face it and willing to go on saying in a time that the Christians are ignorant, and I'll testify again, so let it be said of me, I'm ignorant too. But as Paul said, at least give me the audience of a fool. You would at least entertain a fool, then entertain me and let me talk just a minute and tell you of what God's doing for you. The world's wrong. Look at it. It shouldn't take a rocket scientist to know that they're going the wrong way. Nothing they try works. All the things that they're doing's wrong. It's the families are destroyed. Children are destroyed. People are destroyed. People being shot and murdered. Men's minds are... All those things are happening to our world. They're wrong, and the things they're doing is wrong. And the Lord's right. And that's the cause. That's the cause. You know what? Many, many people with good desires are getting sidetracked and making they're just singling it down to saying, I'm fighting against abortion. Well, maybe you should. But don't make that your cause. Because you can fight that all you want to and not be saved. But salvation takes care of it all. I can take care of abortion, the idea, drug addicts, alcoholism, all of those things, corruption, all in one stroke. With salvation. God's salvation will clear it all up. I know what the answer to the societal ills really is. Should I say horror? It's Christ. It's Christ. He would change it all. Could you imagine a society like that? Well, don't try, because it ain't happening. But there is people. There is people out there yet to respond. I pray that the Lord would help us tonight to have a fervency in our heart. Because again, like I say, we can look and folks, again, we can look and say, well, maybe so many people shouldn't walk out of service. Maybe people ought to come on Wednesday night more. Maybe all this and this should happen. Again, I'm going to just broad stroke this one. Love the Lord. Love the Lord, and even if you do go out, you'll wish you was back in. If you have to go out for some reason, you'll wish that you had heard what you had missed. If you don't come because you wish you was there and you had to do something else that was pressing and the Lord was in that, but you wish you was there, I've been there and done that, and that's what the Lord wants. He wants our hearts. So tonight, Lord, help us. Let's give our hearts to the Lord. Totally. Give it all. For surely He's worth it tonight. Yes. You pray for me.